Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
If you're a Christian, you won't have to endure the 7 years of terror on earth known as the Tribulation. But you can read all about it in the book of Daniel. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah turns to Daniel chapter 12 for some vivid prophecies of this period as we draw closer to the end of the book and Christ's reign of peace. With his message, Resurrection and Reward, here's David.
And thank you for joining us today. Today we begin the final chapter of the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And our topic for today is the resurrection and the reward. So let's get started now with this final message for the week, Resurrection and Reward, Daniel chapter 12.
You know, there's a tremendous desire in all of our hearts for things to turn out right, isn't there? And I think when I come to the end of the book of Daniel, there is within my heart a deep desire to find out how is it going to end. Daniel has been talking about some very difficult days that are coming for his people. And I want to know, how is it going to end? And I wish I could tell you that without leaving the book of Daniel, we could get it all straightened out and it would all end right. But I can't tell you that. We're going to have to go to some other passages to get it to turn out the way we know that it should, according to the purpose of God. But we're going to take another step in the direction of how it all ends. And here's the outline. You can just sort of use this as a signpost to not get lost along the way. First of all, we're going to talk about a period of time. The period of time. Secondly, we're going to talk about the Prince of Israel. The Prince of Israel. And thirdly, we're going to talk about the people of God. The period of time, the Prince of Israel, and the people of God. Now let's notice that the text gives to us a clue that it's important for us to understand a period of time. In the first verse, there is a phrase that is repeated twice. And at that time, it says, shall Michael stand up. And at the end of the verse, it says, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Whenever you see that in the Word of God, you need to stop and ask yourself this question, at what time? What time are we talking about? And obviously, as we go back into the book, into the 11th chapter, what Daniel is doing is tying the 12th chapter together with the 11th chapter. We unfolded the scheme of prophecy that is understood in terms of the Battle of Armageddon. We talked about all the nations are going to gather together in the nation of Israel to do war against each other. And then ultimately, when the Lord comes back in glory, they're going to forget about fighting with one another and they're going to turn their attention on the Lord and His armies. And that's going to be that great ending to the time of trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble. And so when Daniel writes at the beginning of the 12th chapter at that time, he's focusing in on that same period of time, that time we know as the Great Tribulation. So take your Bibles and turn backward toward the book of Genesis to the book of Jeremiah. Go back from Daniel toward Genesis to the book of Jeremiah and find the 30th chapter. Now I want to read a few passages from the 30th chapter of the book of Jeremiah as we discuss what God says is going to happen during that time that Daniel references in the 12th chapter. I'm beginning to read at the third verse of Jeremiah 30. You follow in your Bibles. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke, the Gentile yoke, from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more enslave him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And the Bible says that in that day, when Israel is in the tribulation period, it is going to be like a whole nation in labor, a whole nation in travail. And he speaks in this book of a man holding his loins as a woman in pain. Jeremiah graphically presents this time of great trouble. I would like to impress upon you that the tribulation is just not more trouble than we know now. It is not even to be mentioned in the same category. The world has never seen, nor can it comprehend, nor even enter into a threshold understanding of the awful pain and agony and travail of the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, when all hell will break loose on this earth and Israel will be judged. That's the period of time when Daniel says, and at that time, he's talking about the tribulation. Now that brings us, secondly, to the Prince of Israel. And in the first verse, we read something quite interesting. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. Now here we are introduced again to Michael, the prince of Israel. If you remember our study in angelology during this time of Daniel, we have learned that Michael is God's super angel. He is God's most powerful angel. He is given power of Israel, and he is the super angel from heaven. And when you see conflict, you always see Michael involved in the conflict. For instance, take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Revelation and then move one book back toward the beginning to the book of Jude. I won't tell you what chapter, because if you know your Bibles, you know that Jude only has one chapter. And so turn to the book of Jude, and we want to look at the 9th verse in the book of Jude. Here's a very interesting verse that relates to Michael. It says that Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, but he dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Jude, verse 9. Now, the scripture says that Michael got into a contention with Satan, and his contention was over the Jewish lawgiver Moses, his body, after he had died. And the scripture says that Michael, in his contention with Satan, was not able to bring an accusation against Satan, but he referred him to the Lord. But you see, Michael, in contest, disputing the body of the Jewish lawgiver Moses. If you'll turn back to the book of Daniel, let me just remind you of what we've learned about Michael already. In the 13th verse of the 10th chapter, it says in the 13th verse of Daniel 10, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Here he is involved in the conflict for Israel and for the other nations. Look at verse 21 in the 10th chapter. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now go back to the 12th chapter of Daniel. Here's the setting. We're in the tribulation period. It is terrible on this earth, and all of the stops of the fury of Satan have been poured out upon the nation of Israel. And in the midst of that, the Bible says that at that time, the great prince, Michael, will stand up and defend the children of Israel. And the question is, how does he do that? What is going on here in this verse? I'm glad you asked, because the Bible has the answer. I don't have to look in a commentary, because the Bible has the commentary, and I want to tell you where it is. It's in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. So back to Revelation again, all right? Back to the Revelation. And the 12th chapter. And here in the 12th chapter of Revelation is God's inspired commentary on the battle that Michael the Prince has with Satan and his angels over the Jews. Now I want to read the 12th chapter, the first few verses, and you follow in your Bibles and think clearly now about what God is teaching us. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, look back up at the beginning of the chapter. What's going on here? Let's identify the terms. First of all, who is the woman in verses 1 and 2? Clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is a reference to the nation of Israel. The 12 stars, obviously referring to the 12 tribes of Israel. And the scripture says that this great woman with 12 stars is travailing with child, and she being with child travails in birth and pain to be delivered. All right? So in that first two verses, we see Israel travailing to bring forth the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 3 and 4, we see another wonder in heaven, and this wonder is Satan. Satan in heaven. And it says here that this wonder in heaven is a great red dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns, referring to his government involvement, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And notice it says in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. I believe that's a reference to the fact that when Satan fell, 1/3 of the angels fell with him to the earth. Now, the scripture says that something happened when the nation of Israel was about to bring forth the male child who was the Messiah. It says in verse 4 that the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Do you remember what happened to the Lord Jesus as soon as he was born? You remember what happened? Sure you do. The adversary determined in every way possible to try to rid the world of the Redeemer. Satan was waiting for the Savior to be born so that he could be destroyed. Now notice, verse 5, and the woman, Israel, brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. That's obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. And her child was caught up to God. What's that? The ascension. Jesus Christ went back to heaven and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now, let me share with you what's going on here. Satan hates the nation of Israel because the nation of Israel is the nation that brought the Redeemer into the world. And everything he could do to keep the Lord Jesus from being born, he tried to do. And when the Lord was born, everything he could do in his own power to destroy the Lord Jesus, he tried to do. And now that we're in the tribulation period, Satan is pouring out his wrath upon the Jewish nation, that woman that brought forth the male child, and it is the desire of Satan to so obliterate the Jews that when Jesus comes into his kingdom, there will be no Jews left to help populate and administrate the kingdom which belongs to the Lord. And so he's doing everything to totally wipe out the Jewish nation. And I want to say, if you are anti-Semitic, you better look around and see who your company is, because the original anti-Semite was Satan himself. And people who are anti-Semitic don't have very good bedfellows, because Satan hates the Jewish nation. He hates the nation of Israel, and he will do everything within his power to destroy that nation, so that the tribulation period from the satanic viewpoint is Satan's final attempt to get even with the woman that brought forth the male child and destroy that nation from off the face of the earth. And the war that takes place in verses 7 through 14 is Michael the prince going after the dragon to keep that from happening. And so let me share with you that we've got the same picture we had in chapter 10. While the tribulation is going on down here on this earth and all hell is breaking loose down here, up there Michael and the dragon are having a war to keep Satan from doing any more damage to the Jewish nation. That is the Prince of Israel. Now that brings us to the third point. We're moving right along. The period of time is the tribulation, and the Prince of Israel is Michael, and he's doing everything he can to hold up the cause of the children of Israel. But when we come back to the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, we discover that there are three groups of people that are involved from the point of view of the Jews. Let's find out who these people are. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of who? Thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. We're talking here about the Jews in the tribulation period, and I want you to know that there are three categories of people that God teaches us about in this book. In the 12th chapter, there's the rescued people, there's the resurrected people, and there's the rewarded people. Now, just follow along in that category. First of all, the rescued people. David Barron once declared, "Just as the shepherd of Bethlehem slew both lion and bear and saved from their jaws the lamb which was taken possession of by them as their prey, so will the shepherd of Israel save the remnant of his people from the hands and jaws of those who are stronger than they, and slay them who devoured broken pieces and stamped with their feet his chosen." The Bible says that out of the tribulation period, some of the Jews are going to be rescued. In the days of the tribulation, there will be some who will be saved. They will be preserved through the tribulation period. There will be many hundreds of thousands of Jews who will be killed in the tribulation period, but some of the Jews will be saved. They will become the people that our Lord uses to people the millennium when he goes into his kingdom. Some of the Jews are going to be saved through the tribulation, and they will be the people who will establish the kingdom in the millennial days. Now, in order for us to understand how that works, I want you to stay with me now as we look at several other passages. Go back again to the book of Jeremiah and the 30th chapter. And I hope you brought fast fingers to really follow along and stay with me, because I don't want you to get lost. I could read these passages to you, but if I do that, some of you won't focus in on them and some of the rest of you will go to sleep. Now, don't do that. You follow. If you don't want to do anything else except have a sword drill, you just find the passages, all right? And let's stay together and find these books. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. Notice what it says in the 11th verse. Jeremiah the prophet speaking to the nation of Israel, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations to which I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished." What is God saying? He is saying, even though I stamp out totally all of the nations that come against you, I want you to know, Israel, that I am not going to stamp you out altogether. I will deal with you in measure, and I will not let you go unpunished and uncorrected, but I am going to save a part of you. All right? Notice verse 17 of the same chapter. "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." All right, turn from Jeremiah to the book of Ezekiel. Go to the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, and the 20th chapter. We learn some more truth in Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning at the 33rd verse. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. Now, you have to admit, I haven't done this to you very often, make you run all over the Old Testament finding all these passages. I pretty much stayed together, but I want you to stay with me because it's the only way we can put all this together. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the peoples and will gather you out of the countries in which you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you unto the bond of the covenant." Now here it is. "And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Now listen, here's what God is saying. in the tribulation period, what's going to happen to the nation of Israel is this. Through the tribulation period, the unbelieving Jews, the rebels, the disobedient, those who do not honor God are going to be purged out of the nation. They are going to be destroyed. The apostate Jews are going to be killed. So that only a certain number of Jews are going to be left. How many? Let me show you. The Bible tells us exactly how many Jews are going to be left at the end of the tribulation period who are pure, who have not been purged out as rebels. Turn to the book. This is the hardest one yet. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. And in this book, in the book of Zechariah, we discover that the Bible tells us exactly how many Jews are going to make it through the tribulation untouched by God's judgment and still be around to go into the millennium. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. Notice what it says. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts in it shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will test them as gold is tested. They shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say it is my people and they shall say the Lord is my God.
We have some more, as you can well imagine, from this section of Daniel 12 verses 2 through 4. But we're going to have to wait till Monday to finish it up. And next week, we will finish up the entire book of Daniel on Thursday. I hope that you will stay with us to the very end. At the end of the book of Daniel, we're going to begin a brand new series never heard before on Turning Point called The Jesus You May Not Know. And I hope that you will stay focused with us, stay with us as we teach the Word of God. We move from the Old Testament to the New, back and forth, learning the Scripture together. What a thrill it is to be a part of this journey with all of you. Hey, I've been giving you a verse of Scripture every day at the end of each broadcast to just sort of encourage you before I say goodbye. Here it is. James 1:5 is today's verse. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. If ever there was a day when we needed wisdom, this is the day. Here's the promise from God. He stands ready to give you the wisdom you request. And there's that prayer that we sometimes read from the writings and from the story of Jehoshaphat, who said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's kind of where all of us are right now. But here's the promise of God. If you need wisdom, he'll give it to you. Friends, have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget you can get Turning Point on television every weekend in your community. Look for us. And then be sure and join us Monday when we reconvene our study of the book of Daniel. I'm David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, The Handwriting on the Wall, please visit our website where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. And when you do, ask for a copy of Amir Safati's book, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times. The book and a Prayer for Israel bookmark are yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard Version and the New International Version, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, all in your choice of attractive cover options. Go to davidjeremiah.org/radio for the details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us Monday as we continue The Handwriting on the Wall. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.